fill it up and make me whole. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's just that easy. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Amen. Jesus said, sometimes we ask not. We receive not because we ask not. Amen. I believe that he wants to do these things so much more than we want it done. And we certainly do want him to have his way. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Joe is recovering from the surgery that he had yesterday with the replaced knee. And Ben got his stitches out today, so he'll be able to get on the plane tomorrow, fly home. We'll pick him up and wait on him hand and foot for a few days. So just a lot going on right now with different ones out for different things. Brother Joel's back. God bless you. It's nice to see you standing there. Yeah, I'll try not to keep you standing too long. It feels good. Okay. All right. So if you see him up, amen, amen, and you'll know that there's something to it there. Yeah. So, Brother Luke, Brother Alvaro, you're not going to have any body parts replaced in the near future? Okay. Just checking. All right. Okay. You've got a few good years left before you got to worry about stuff like that. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 19. A simple thought here tonight. Lord put in my heart, and I don't mind simple. Hope you don't mind it either. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 19. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Boy, I'll tell you, all throughout the ages, people miss the hidden meaning that's laying right here. Until the right time. Is not her king hidden in her tonight? In that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, I'm in you, and you are in me. This is that day. Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? That word recovered actually means elevated. Taken up, caught up. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We're waiting for the complete and total healing of the body. In the translation of the saints here at the end time, the harvest is, the summer is ended. The harvest, we could say, I just wonder how close we are. We were told a few decades ago that we were just gleaning. Right, which means the main part of the harvest has already taken place. The gleaning then is there's still some grain here. There's still a handful of grain there. Where are we at tonight? Is there no balm in Gilead? So I just want to title the thought here for a few minutes tonight, the balm of Gilead. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we come together for this midweek service, Lord, it's with great thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, for all that you've done, for just for the breath of air that we're taking right now, Lord, just to be able to come together like this midweek and feed upon your word, to make love to you, Lord, to make our requests known, to give you thanks, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're doing. And Father, we just want to just open our hearts to you, Lord, and just give you access to every door, to every window, every room in our house, Lord, and just say, have your way, Lord, as we fellowship with you around your word. Bless each and every one, we pray. Be with those, Lord. There's still those that are out recovering from different things, and we just ask that you would continue to be with them, Lord, and bring them back safely and bring them back healthy, we pray. And, Father, we'll surely give you praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Is there no balm in Gilead? So the word balm is in the Hebrew is siri or sori, just depending on how it's used. And we're told that it comes from an unused root that means to crack, as under pressure, and then hence to leak. So it's kind of strange that the word balm is really speaking about, from the root word, if you look at the definition, it's speaking about the problem and not the solution, so to speak, because the problem is drying up, cracking, opening up, and the balm is actually the solution, right? The balm is actually taken from the substance in the tree that flows out of the tree to fix the problem, to fix the crack that's in the tree, to fix the leak. And so the word actually means a kind of balsam, a balm, a salve. And this this balm or this salve came from a tree that was a tree that grew in the area of Gilead, and Gilead was a portion of land that was actually on the, it's kind of strange, it's on the east side of the Jordan River, so you wouldn't expect much of, you wouldn't expect God to be dealing with people there, you wouldn't expect many notable things to take place there, but Elijah was in Gilead, and Gilead is between, that region of Gilead is right up next to the Jordan River and a little bit out, but not over to the plains. And it runs up as far north as the Sea of Galilee and as far south as the Salt Sea, and or the Dead Sea, I should say. And so it's not really that big of an area, and it was kind of a rocky area. And that is where the medicine would come from, the balm would come from. And so it refers to a resin or gum of the storax tree, and it was used medicinally. And it's mentioned three times in the scripture. The first time is in Genesis chapter 37, verse 25, where these Ishmaelites are coming, and they're actually carrying some of this with them, along with some other spices and myrrh and things like that, and they're traveling with this, and this is where Joseph is cast down, and they end up Joseph's brothers sell him, and of course the Ishmaelites are purchase him, but they're bringing along, it's mentioned there that they're bringing along this balm to take it to market as well. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, we hear about Gilead being spoken of. And so I'll just read it to you here. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's a pretty bold statement, right? It's a pretty powerful statement. You'd wonder, with someone making a statement like that and God backing it up, you wonder why anybody would even challenge him. But there's your balm in Gilead. Elijah said, except according to my word. It was the word of the Lord through the prophets that was the balm that came out of Gilead. So we know that there's the natural type, but then there's the spiritual type, and Of course, we want to focus on the spiritual type tonight because we're not gonna try to coax you into essential oils or other kinds of balms. Not that there isn't any benefit from them. We know that there is. And of course there is, or we wouldn't have it as a shadow or a type. But it's speaking of something greater, which we have access to tonight. Amen? So God has always had a balm for the health and the welfare of his people. And we know that there was healing that was available under an Old Testament covenant. It wasn't something that was new that, when the New Testament covenant came. There was healing that was already taking place in the Old Testament. And we find several accounts throughout the Bible where God healed different ones from various sicknesses. And we find a time when the Israelites, for instance, they were on their way to the Promised Land, and along the way, the people began to complain about the circumstances of the Exodus. Of course, we would never do anything like that, I'm sure. So in our Exodus, we're just hallelujah and glory to God every step of the way, and just can't wait to get there. And, you know, I'm patient, and, you know, we can put up with this or that because our inheritance is so great, it's worth whatever we have to go through, right? So they began to speak against God, they began to speak against Moses, they began to speak against the ministry. And we saw that the Lord, in response to that, the Lord allowed fiery serpents to come among the people and to bite them. And many of them died because of the snake bites. And the people began to repent very quickly. And they came to Moses telling him, "We know that we have sinned, speaking against God and speaking against you and your brother and the ministry. So pray for us that the Lord will take away these fiery serpents. We're repenting and we want to be back in God's good graces. We've learned our lesson." You know, we know that when God does things, his motive and his objective is to drive us towards repentance, right? And it's not his fault that he has to drive us pretty hard sometimes, right? There's an easy way or there's a hard way. But if you're a child of God, repentance is going to come. So they said, "Pray for us that that the Lord will take away these fiery serpents." And so Moses prayed, and the Lord told Moses, "Here's the solution. I want you to make a serpent, and I want you to make it out of brass, and then I want you to put it on a pole. And then tell the people, if you're bitten by a serpent, well, the thing to do is look to the brass serpent that's on this pole and live." And of course, we know that that's speaking of, that was a shadow or a type of Jesus Christ that would be, he would become sin. So he wasn't a serpent, but he was symbolized by that serpent on the pole where all sin was put upon him. And sin was judged. And if we look to him, we can live. Because he died to pay for our sins and to take away the venom or the bite of the serpent that came along with that, if you will. So they said, "Tell the people," Moses said, "Tell the people if you are bitten by the serpent, look to the brass serpent on the pole and live." And of course, that's exactly what took place. Now notice this. The thing that's kind of interesting, I mean, there's a lot of things that are interesting, but, you know, things just kind of jump out at you at different times. Why didn't God take away the serpents? He didn't take away the serpents because he hasn't taken away sin. When we come to know the Lord Jesus and give our hearts to the Lord, he didn't take away sin. He hasn't taken away sickness. We know that it will all have its place in the lake of fire. It'll all be dealt with at some point in time. But God didn't take away the serpents that the children of Israel were encountering, but he did provide a cure for the snake bite, and he provided the cure before the bite would occur. And that's the wonderful thing about God. Yes, there's sickness, but he's provided a solution before sickness ever touches us. There's a cure for sin sickness. There's a cure for unbelief. And God has provided it before we run into it, before we experience it. So in our text, Jeremiah, he's called many times the weeping prophet, and he was expressing actually the heart of God at that particular time, because Israel, God was jealous over Israel, and God had chosen that nation from amongst the nations, but Israel was backsliding, and Israel was looking to other gods, and Israel was looking to the world, and instead of letting him be their provider, letting him be their guide, letting him be their all in all. Amen? So in our text, Jeremiah, he's crying out for the sins of Israel at a time that's, you know, it's just not too long before they're carried off into slavery by the Babylonians. So Jeremiah, he's crying out for a cure, but God had sent the cure, the word of the Lord, but the people had failed to apply it. And I wonder if that isn't just a parallel of where we're at today. The word of the Lord has been restored in the hour that we're living in. That was a problem that we had, and Satan was able to make great inroads, and Satan was able to have a lot of control because of our ignorance of the word. And the thing that he responds to is not our shouting, not our emotion, not our good works. Nothing wrong with that. We believe in good works. But he doesn't respond to that. But he does respond to the word. And what we had was the logos, but we didn't have the understanding. We didn't have the revelation of that word, the restored word. So now we do, but what are people doing with it? They had the word of the Lord from Elijah, but what did they do with it? Elijah was called, he had a restoration ministry. He rebuilt the altars and was bringing the people back to repentance, bringing them back to God. God sent that Elijah ministry to turn their hearts back. But what did they do? They were sort of half in and half out. They were still looking at the gods of Egypt and the gods, these other gods. And of course, we read about it here where God was not pleased with that. And so just as it is today, the word of the Lord has been restored. And it is our protection from our enemy. And it's also a balm for healing for when we are smitten. But if it isn't applied, it's of no value to us. What's the point of having it? Oh, we got the word. Okay, what are you doing with it? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So it's God's desire, we know, that we would prosper in health. God doesn't desire sickness. God doesn't desire, health issues in our lives. We know that these things come, but he has a solution for it. He said, I would that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. I would that you would prosper in health. So it's his desire, and it's more than just his desire. He's provided a way, but we have to apply it to our lives. Sin has not been taken away from this world, neither has sickness or sorrow or trials or afflictions or temptations or tribulation. But instead, a balm has been provided, and this balm is the sap that runs into a tree. It's protected by the bark that's on the tree, right? And Brother Branham tells us that the bark that's on the tree is a type of the doctrine of the church, right? If you take the doctrine of the church away, the life runs out. And it leaves the tree open to all kinds of attacks, bark beetles and, you know, whatever else it is that attacks the tree, right? And so if there's a break in the tree and the, you know, we're familiar with pine trees, I suppose, there's turpentine and sap that comes out of a tar that comes out of pine trees. It also has medicinal value in the same way that this balm did in Gilead. And what it does is if there's a opening, if there's a break in that bark, if there's an injury to the tree, the sap runs right to it. That turpentine runs right to it. That oil runs right to it to try to store it up, to try to shore it up, and to bring healing, right? So if a church doesn't have a doctrine, where's our protection? Right? The Word of God is our protection. But we must be girded in it. We must be wrapped in it, right? And any place, Satan's always looking for just a little crack, just a little sliver, just some way, some little opening, right? And so we come together and we're relying on the Spirit and the Word to come and bring healing to those areas where the breaks take place, where the life begins to leak out. There's balm. There's something to rejuvenate. There's something to put us back on track. There's something to bring protection. And the church says. So instead of God taking away all those things, as we said, God has provided a balm that heals the bark of the tree that it came from, thus preventing the sap from leaking out and the pests from getting in. And we know that the bark of the tree is a type of the doctrine of the church, as we said. So it's there to protect the life. It's there to keep the life from leaving the tree. It's there to keep the life from leaving the church. So the Word is our protection. And it's what keeps the life of Christ from leaking out of the church. Take away the Word, what do you have? Bunch of leaks. And so the Word is our protection. And balm is also a cure for the damages that sin and sickness and temptations have brought into our lives. But we have to apply the cure to our lives if we want to reap the benefits of the cure. So it's twofold, right? In one case, it's preventative. In another case, it's remedial, or it brings healing, right? In one case, if we just keep it before us and keep girded up, it'll protect us. In another case, if there's a leak, it'll heal us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we read in the book of 2 Kings another account of a man by the name of Ahaziah, and he was the son of Ahab. This story isn't starting out too good already, right? We just talked about Ahab this last weekend, and we knew what a rascal that he was. Well, Ahaziah has some issues as well. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree, so to speak. So he's the next king to rule after King Ahab. And one day we read a story where Ahaziah, he fell through the floor, through the ceiling lattice from the second floor where his bed was at, and he fell through that second floor into the first floor. And as a result of the fall, he was very ill. He wasn't recovering from it. They're looking for solutions, obviously. And so he sent messengers, and he said unto these messengers, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease or not. So why run off and consult some other god instead of the God of Israel? Doesn't even make sense, does it? Why run off and consult something else? So the angel of the Lord met Elijah and told him to intercept these messengers that are coming. And the angel said, say unto them, is it not because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of the God of Ekron? Tell Ahaziah that because he has done this, he will not recover, but will surely die. That's a pretty depressing outlook, but friends, it's totally self-inflicted. Why run to the gods of, the God of the universe has chosen you, and he's your God, and you're going to go to one of these little lesser gods, right, that the world's depending on. So tell him, because he's done this thing, he will not recover, but he will surely die. So the messengers, once they hear this message, they receive this message, they went no further. Instead, they returned back home. And the king asked him, he says, why are you back so soon? You know, it should have taken you a lot longer to travel there, deliver, find out the news, and then travel back here. It should have taken longer. And they tell him, well, it's because we met a man along the way, And they gave the king the message that they received from this angel of the Lord. And the king asked for a description of the man. So the king then sends a captain with 50 men to tell Elijah to come to the king at once. And it was kind of one of these demanding or else kind of statements, right? And we can only guess that these men didn't approach Elijah humbly, but were rather demanding when they came back with them to speak to the king. And so Elijah, he calls down fire from heaven, and all that's left after the fire falls is 51 brass helmets. You say, 50? Yeah, but there was a captain too. So that's 51. This is one short of 52 pickup, right? If you're not familiar with that, somebody says, you want to play 52 pickup? And they say, sure. And so you take a deck of cards with 52, and you take it, and all the cards fall on the floor, and we say, okay, now pick it up. Well, this was 51 pickup, but there was nothing left to pick up but charred helmets, right? So when these men don't return for a while, well, then 50 more men are sent with the captain, so another 51, same results, right? Same approach, definition of insanity, right? Do the same thing, expect a different result. So clearly their approach wasn't right this time either. So a third band of 50 and a captain come. I'll tell you what, if I was part of that 50 in this third group, I'd want to evaluate my approach, wouldn't you? So this third band of 50 and captain, they came, and as they approach them humbly this time, and as a result, they live. And so Elijah, he comes to the king, he delivers the prophecy that came from the angel of the Lord, and it happens just exactly as the Lord had spoken it, right? Now, the problem wasn't that the God of Israel was not with Israel. Our problem is not that God isn't here in this last age, in this last hour. The problem was that the king was proud, and the king would not submit to the word. So if he wasn't going to take the prescription of the word, well, then the balm, which is the balm of Gilead, since he didn't go to the word, instead he ran to inquire of the God of Ekron, and God wasn't going to tolerate this, starting from the top right on down. And I'm afraid that this happens all too often in the ranks of Christianity today as well. He is the Lord that heals how much of our disease? All our disease, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? I'm so glad that it's so positive, that it's amen and amen. There aren't caveats. There aren't, you know, you see an ad for some kind of a drug that medical science has come up with, and we're thankful for these aids. We're thankful for the wisdom that God allows men to have so they can bring things that can be a little bit of a help. But they show perfect health. They show people chasing after their grandkids, and I guess you see which medicine I'm looking at, right? Chasing after their grandkids and, you know, just in the picture of health. And then at the very bottom, this has been known to cause depression and suicide and heart attacks and on and on and on and on and on, right? But he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And there's no side effects. There's no downside to it. Amen. It'll heal you. He is the Lord that heals all our diseases. But many people will not submit themselves to the word of God. And so they run off looking for cures elsewhere when the cure is right here. It's already been paid for, just waiting for somebody to collect on it. God wants to be our God and our provider all the time. He doesn't want to be a part-time God. He doesn't want to be a God of the last resort. He doesn't want to be the God of convenience. He doesn't want to be another bottle in our medicine chest. He wants to be our God. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be our healer. He wants to be our portion. He wants to be our help in a time of trouble. It's tough in this hour. It's tough in this hour because we've got too much. What we're overcoming in this age is not a lack. It's too much. And then what are we going to do? What are we going to choose? What are we going to pick? He is our physician. And he has a cure tonight for whatever ails us. Before we ever have an ailment, he has a cure. But that cure cannot help us if we fail to apply that balm that he has provided. We can't leave it on the shelf. We can't just talk about it. We can't just leave it, you know, a last resort, or if this doesn't work or that doesn't work, then I'll try that. That should be the first thing we do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the cause of all sickness, the cause of all suffering is sin. And we know sin is unbelief. And we know that sin began to rule and to reign on the earth when man stepped away from behind God's perfect word, God's great protection from sin, which is the word of God. So God provided man with an inoculation from sin. And that inoculation from sin is his word. And his word is spirit, and his word is truth. So, and we know that the living word is a seed, and it is a water that quickens that seed. It's spirit and life that quickens that seed. And when a man turns down the word and instead takes the lie of the devil in its place, which is what took place in the garden in the beginning, well, then sin sickness sets in for the entire human race and for the entire domain of man. When man fell, everything under him fell as well. Because he's out of his position. He's out of his place. He was supposed to be the caretaker. He was supposed to keep things in the order that God put them in. But now man's out of his position. He can't put things back in order. So Adam and his wife, they were bitten by sin, if you will. And as a result of the serpent's role in this, as we read in the scriptures, the serpent was told by God himself that he would eat dust or flesh from that time on. And we were told that the Lord would put enmity between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed, meaning those they could no longer commingle, they could no longer mix, and that the seed of the serpent would then bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Right? And of course, we know Christ was the fulfillment of that, right? He's the seed of the woman that God promised. He said, I'll give you another seed. He promised this seed, and that seed is Christ. And we know that on Calvary, his heel was bruised by the serpent's bite, but the serpent's head was bruised when he took sin upon himself and overcame sickness, overcame death by death. Conquered it. So the seed of the woman would take the sin of mankind upon himself, and we know that he would be lifted up, that he would be hung upon a tree. That's that serpent on the pole that we saw in the Old Testament in a shadow, and that he would endure brass is judgment. Brass speaks of judgment. That he would endure the fiery judgment of God. And in the process, he would become the cure for sin sickness. Such a horrible thing that took place. Such a wonderful thing that came out of it. He would even take the venom of the serpent into himself, and he would create the anti-venom to that venom by swallowing up death with death. That's how Paul put it. He said he swallowed up death with death. He conquered death by death. Took death into his body, but then conquered it, right? Came up with the antitoxin, came up with the anti-venom within himself to conquer death. So that inoculation took place when the Spirit descended and filled him without measure on the banks of the Jordan River that day. And we saw that afterwards that he was tempted in every way, but the inoculation of the Spirit held. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He defeated the devil in every attack. Notice he wasn't attacked this way before he was filled with the Spirit without measure. But afterwards, he was tempted. Satan unleashed every attack that he had. And he defeated every attack of the devil using the living word. Under the every circumstances known to man, everything that Satan tried to bring against this man, he was defeated. He defeated the attacks of his enemy simply with, "It is written. It is written. It is written." So I'm giving you a little hint about what this inoculation is that was within him, the antitoxin that could overpower the toxin that death had brought into his body. So he defeated the attacks of his enemy with, "It is written." And then he absorbed the poison of death that was injected into his heel, as it were, at Calvary, and the inoculation held. Death could not rule, death could not reign over him because he was inoculated from on high. And this was no mere mortal being, but this was the first of the God race, the God man, the first of the new race with the cure for sin and the cure for death dwelling in him, in his mortal body. And when you and I receive that very same inoculation in us that was already proven to overcome in him, well, then we become the same kind of overcomers as he is. Because it isn't us per se that's overcoming, but it's the inoculation that's in us. It's the same substance that was in him, in us. Faith is the substance. It's not our faith, but it's the faith of God in us, putting that word into action, and it'll defeat the devil every time. It'll defeat the devil every place. It'll defeat the devil under every circumstance. But we have to apply it. We have to put it into action. We can't put it up on a shelf or just talk about it as some kind of esoteric thing, as some kind of, you know, intellectual curiosity. We have to put it into action. And we have to be walking in the Spirit, because if we aren't walking in the Spirit, we won't know what word to apply. And excuse me tonight, friends, but we got to be connected with a body. Because God is, I'm just jumping ahead, I'll just go ahead and do it. We got to be connected with a body. Because the inoculation is in this body. It's in this local body. And what we need, maybe it isn't what they need over in the Latvia or Ukraine, right? But that's a different part of the body. What we need is in this part of the body for this day, for this time, for the challenges that we're facing. Amen? So when we receive that very same inoculation that was proven to overcome in him, we will be the same kind of overcomers that he is. And the church says. Now, just what do you mean by inoculation, Brother Doug? Well, I thought you'd never ask. Thank you. Man has battled against many strains of sickness, many strains of disease since the fall of man. And it seems like new, undiscovered types of evil spirit sicknesses are being discovered as time goes on. In more recent times, we've struggled with a virus that's called smallpox or variola virus. That's the Latin terminology for it, I suppose. And up until the 1700s, the virus would come into a city. Oh, friends, when you heard about it coming, you just wanted to get out of town. You just wanted to go somewhere else and come back with lay low until it swept through. Because when it came into a city, it would wipe out 15 to 20% of all that had never been exposed to it before. So 15 to 20% of the population would die. I mean, that's a big number, right? And now let this come by every 5-10 years. You can see it wouldn't be too long before it's whittling down your... You're going to, instead of having a population increase, you're going the other direction. You're heading towards, you know, the dark ages once again. And this is in the 1700s, right? Weren't we through with that when we came out of the dark ages? Well, apparently not, but we take it for granted so easily and so lightly in this hour. There's evidence that a treatment was being used as far back as 1,000 years ago in China. And in later times, prior to the 1700s, there was a, treatment that was being used by the Ottomans and the Ottoman Empire and parts of Africa as well. And the treatment involved taking a live batch of the virus from somebody who was infected and lived, and then making a cut in the skin of the patient, and then putting this live virus into that cut. Now, you can imagine the turmoil that must have caused. His first name was Cotton. Cotton Mather. He was both a clergyman and a kind of a pseudo-scientist at the same time. He was dabbling in science and medicine, and he was also, with the church in New England at that time. And the uproar that was raised is, well, God's not going to give you a disease to heal you then, right? So, of course, this inoculation isn't going to work because God's not going to use sickness to heal you from sickness, right? Just imagine. I mean, these things are new. These things are being debated. So the church was taking quite a stand against it, and you were being labeled as a heretic if you even dabbled with these kind of things, right? So most people would normally be infected by the virus by breathing. It's an airborne virus, so most people would pick it up just by breathing it. It's in the air. Those things weren't very well understood back then as they are now. And it would then quickly spread throughout the body that it's infecting. And then the body would have to fight everywhere in the body all at the same time. And most of the people that died, they were facing what is now termed as viral overload, right? Because the body just didn't have enough strength, didn't have enough defense to fight everywhere all at once in the body. But they found that if a batch of the virus were to be wiped on a small cut on the skin, the virus attack would remain local to that small area, and the body would battle a few generations of that virus in that small area while it was then building up an immunity to it, so that then if it did attack the whole body, the body's ready for it. You understand? So those that were infected this way, they would survive at a much higher rate than those that were infected naturally. 2 out of every 100 would die instead of 1 out of 6. Imagine that? I mean, just don't do it. I was going to say, look around and, look at 6 people around you and just imagine that one's... No, don't do it. What I'm trying to get across to you is that really brings it home, doesn't it? It's not, we heard over here and we heard over there. It's like, where's Mike? Where's... I didn't say Mike. Where's Marsha? Where's... Let me pick some names that aren't in the body. It was in 1796 that I assure you, if you just hold on a minute, I'm getting somewhere. It was in 1796 that a British scientist by the name of Edward Jenner, who was a Christian man, he came up with an inoculation that would see widespread use from that point on. And of the two, there were two major types of smallpox at that time. One was actually called the major type, and the other one a minor type. The minor type was mild, and it resulted in maybe 1-2% deaths by those getting it naturally. Now, before you get too excited about that and think, well, 1-2%, that's not much. That's COVID. It was about 2% of the people that got it died, right? So that's still still enough to get your attention, right? So the strain was what was used, that particular strain was what was used to inoculate the masses with and turn smallpox around like never before. Another technique that was being used was to use a cowpox virus that infected, yes, you guessed it, cows. And the virus was then injected under the skin, and it would cause an immunity to develop in the body against it and against other pox viruses, as it turns out. And it was the work of Edward Jenner that resulted in the term inoculation being used for the first time. So Prior to that, that term was not being used. And then inoculation and vaccination were used from that time on for treatment of this form. So the word inoculate, it comes from the Latin word oculate or ocular, having to do with the eye, and the word in. So what it meant was to insert a bud from one plant into another. Stay with me. Insert a bud from one plant into another. Often that bud would be referred to as an eye, like an eye, or, you know, a potato will have a little shoot that comes off of it, and you call that an eye, right? So the eye is the cutting. And it's interesting to note that where this term was used in the New Testament as well. In Romans chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Speaking of, you know, how Israel was the natural olive tree, and how Israel, because of her unbelief, was cut off, and how the Gentiles, the wild olive tree, was grafted in to the natural olive tree. And Paul's saying, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God's able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, that's you and me, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted in into their own olive tree? So he's saying if it can do that for us Gentiles who weren't even part of that natural olive tree to begin with, well, how much more will it work for those that were actually part of that very same tree? So the word graft in the Greek, that word graft that's being used there in Romans chapter 11, it's, well, I won't even try. Incontridzo. To cut into for the sake of inserting a scion. To inoculate. To engraft. To graft in. So a scion, S-C-I-O-N, it's a bud or a shoot or a cutting. And Paul tells us that we were inoculated into the natural olive tree. We were grafted, as we would say, into the root. And we, which are a branch that was grafted into it, we become that branch where the very life that's in the root that flows through the trunk now comes through the branch and produces fruit once again, right? So the life in the tree inoculates us, right? We are protected just as the rest of the tree is protected because of the life that's flowing through the tree. And because we are grafted into that tree. Are you still with me? So for many years, the inoculation method for places that were far from cities, back in the colonial era, so to speak, they would take several, now, I didn't do this, don't blame me, we're just reporting, okay? They would take several young orphans, and they would infect one of those orphans by inoculation. And if the journey was overseas, or the journey was over a great land distance, and they're trying to bring the cure to some other place, right? Well, then the next one would be inoculated by the first one after the sores broke out. And this is how they kept the virus alive until they could reach a large population that they were wanting to inoculate. So the inoculation was passed from one living being to another. Now that's what's significant. That ought to cause you to shout. It was passed from, not from a tape player, not from a book, not from a tract, but from one human being to another, because it had to be the same life that was in one that was in the other. It had to be the same inoculation, had to be the same antibodies, right? The inoculation was passed from one living being to another, shoulder to shoulder. So now we're finally getting to our point here tonight. That's how our inoculation is passed on to us. On the day of Pentecost, the serum was passed to 120, and that serum came from on high. That life that was in him, come on, friends. This is not made up stuff. This is not sort of like, this is reality. The very life that was in Jesus Christ was sent down to the earth, and that very life was injected into 120 that were shoulder to shoulder. They were all together in one mind and one accord. And the inoculation then was passed on to us on the day of Pentecost. And how is it passed on from this day forward? There has to be somebody alive on the earth. There has to be somebody that's inoculated to pass it on. So they were told, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are inoculated from on high. And this is the balm of Gilead that will cure sin sickness and will cure the effects of sin and will prevent, it will protect you from unbelief. And in the Old Testament, we know that the inoculation was taken from the veins of animals. We know that it was the blood of innocent animals that was shed, but that did not produce a complete cure. It provided a temporary solution. It held sickness at bay until a greater blood sacrifice could come. It was a natural lamb that was provided, and it could hold certain things at bay, but it was waiting for the Lamb of God with the right kind of blood to pass on the true inoculation. So this inoculation that you and I receive under a New Testament covenant, it wasn't produced in an animal, but it was produced in Emmanuel's own veins. God became flesh. God became one of us and generated that inoculation so that he could then pass it on to us. And we receive that inoculation when we humble ourselves, when we repent, and when we're born again of the inoculation. And then we feed that inoculation the word, and it gives us all the antibodies that we need to battle against sin. Do you believe that tonight? Friends, the essential oil that I need is in me tonight. The cure that I need, I don't need to go to a jungle to discover it. It's in me tonight. It's already been proven. It's already been tested. It's already been tried. It's already been lab certified. It's already been grown in a petri, not a petri dish, but in the first of the God race, in a man, a mortal body, right? And now all we have to do is become a partaker of it. And then the very inoculation that was in him is now in us. The very antibodies that was in his body to fight against sin and sickness is now against us. It is now in us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In the message communion, he says there was a certain minister today. I heard him. He said it on a broadcast. He said when he come into the country that he had a great sinus trouble. And they were talking of an operation. And they said that they was going to do this and do that and cut on him and operate and take part of his sinus glands out and would sink his face in and so forth like that. And he said he had taken pills by the barrel. Looked like there were so many pills that he had to take. But when he come to a good Christian doctrine, the doctor said, let's forget the pills. Let's forget the operation. Let's build up the body so it can resist the sinusitis. No, don't get quiet on me already. I haven't even started preaching yet. I'm going to preach. Sinusitis was the problem, right? The cure was build up the body so that it can fight the sinusitis. Makes sense to me? He says, what's the matter that people don't live as long as they used to? We've taken a shot for this and a shot for that and spraying ourselves over with all kinds of medicine. He says, what does it do? It gets us soft and fat. I'm glad he said that. And flabby. No good. When the man of long ago, he says, why? We're allergic to everything. Now they're getting mal allergies and everything else. He says, I stood in Africa and couldn't take a shot for malaria. But a malaria mosquito would light on my hand and I'd have malaria. They don't buzz and you don't know hardly. they light, they just light on and that's it. You had it. If you live, you'll have it for 15 years if you get that malaria in your system, he says. And then sometimes you'll die with it. And there were those natives there in their little huts with mosquitoes all over their legs, them naked, mosquitoes sticking on them, malaria mosquitoes, and it didn't bother them. Why? They had built up an immunity. They had God-given inoculation. And that's what's the matter today with the people. That's what's the matter with the church. We got so much baby shots and man-made theology until we're sprayed over. What we need is God's inoculation by the word of the Lord God. Man shall not live by any kind of food, but to build his soul into an inoculation from spiritual diseases that's flowing and jumping around the country. Oh, friends, that would put psychiatrists out of work. That would put psychology on the back burner. He says, now, build up. Get ready for the inoculation. He says, now, we live by this. Our bodies must have this. And if we don't, then we are subject to all kinds of diseases. And the word of God, as we believe it and accept it by communion, Lord, thy word is truth. How many can say that tonight? Lord, thy word is truth. My church says you don't have to be born again. They say shaking hands is born again. They say sprinkling. They say all these other things. That's it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But the Bible said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, now you go ahead with those artificial shots if you want to. You'll make yourself an artificial Christian, see? You don't want that. So it's so important not only to have the word, but to apply the word. And not to apply anything that isn't the word. And that's why it's so important to run everything through the filter of the word. Because if it isn't the word, it won't stop the sickness. It won't protect us. Come on, friends. But if it is the word, it'll defeat the devil. Every time, every place. Oh, friends, come on. What would the world do for a cure-all tonight? What would the world do for something that would cure whatever ails you? Whatever your problem is, it doesn't matter. Whether it's cancer or whether it's a cold, whether it's a wart, whether it's a hangnail, it'll cure anything. What would the world do to get a hold of it? And yet it's in the church, or it's supposed to be. Amen? Do we believe that tonight? Or is this just a bedtime story? If it is just a bedtime story, let's go home and go to bed. Right? But if it's the truth, let's do all we can to apply it. Again, he says, you can't have life only through Christ. And now what does his word do? It builds up our spiritual body strong as we commune with him to resist the devil. You say, well, Brother Branham, what's that you say, communing in his word? He says, yes, he is the word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. And we are to eat his body. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. He wasn't talking about his natural body. He's talking about he's the living Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We are to eat his body. Then his body is his Word because he is the Word. Friends, it was eating that caused the problem in the garden. It's eating that's the cure in another garden. His body is his word because he is the word. And he said in John 15, if you abide in me and my communion, my word abides in you. Well, then you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. There you are. That's true. See, ask what you will. What do? You're building up your body to inoculation from somebody comes in and says, oh, our church don't believe in shouting. See, you're built up. What? You got communion in you, the word, and you're inoculated from it. If a bunch of nonsense comes in, what is it? It has no word in it. Well, then you're sure that it's wrong. I don't care how real it looks. If it's not the word, leave it alone. Right. Leave it alone. I don't care what it does. It must compare with the Word. So when we come to church, friends, to hear the preaching of the Word, we are being inoculated against the things that we are going to face in coming days in Tucson, Arizona, that this local body is going to face. We're being inoculated by the Word. When people stay home and decide they don't need the inoculation, they end up with prayer requests for the infections that they get. And then, oh friends, I can't tell you how many times we had people that missed more church than they attended. And then we're supposed to feel sorry for them because they said, oh, I'm just sick all the time. Well, I never heard a prayer request. Right? And of course you're sick. You're at home. Right? Instead of being in church. But you're only sick on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. That's kind of strange, you know. There must be a medical term for that, right? Churchitis or... I don't know. It must be a term, though. It's mighty coincidence. We are attacked. All of us are attacked by the enemy. None of us are immune. None of us. But there's a vaccine. There's an inoculation that will protect us and will build our immunity. Do you believe that? And we also inoculate the body by the body, right? When we take these live doubts and unbeliefs and expose them to the body, people say, well, why does this stuff always come up in church? Where is it supposed to come up at? Right? We bring these things into the body where it's safe, in its weakened form, right? And then we dissect it and we build up an immunity to it and it has no effect on us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And it will protect the body and it will build up the immunity that's within the body. The weakened form infects in a small place and the body builds an immunity to that unbelief. And this is why these things must be. And the enemy, just as he does in the natural, the enemy will bring viruses into the church and try to spread it from one person to another. Right? But what it does is that it ends up building immunity in those that stay with the Word. And those that don't stay with the Word, they perish. But those that stay with the Word, they become immune to that attack of unbelief. And that attack of unbelief will have no effect on them. Amen? They've faced it down, and they've overcome. Now, don't take this the wrong way, because there's a fine line here. The church is not our inoculation. But the church is where we go to get the inoculation from on high. The church is the female. The Word is the male. The babe draws strength from the body by drawing on the sincere milk of the Word, as Paul said. It grows on as they grow up. Then they're eating the meats of the Word. So those that are raised on the milk of the Word are much more resistant to the attacks of the enemy than those that are bottle fed. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. They're bottle fed, man-made or animal-made formulas and milk instead of God-made. Amen. Instead of it being coming from the body, drawing strength from the body, it comes from man-made creeds and dogmas. And friends, there's so much evidence out there now about the benefits, even in the natural. There's so much information about the benefits of breastfeeding versus bottle feeding our babies. There's so much that we don't know that we're just beginning to discover. God's ways are the best. There's so much that He's done, that He's provided a mother, and she doesn't even have to know what's being provided. Right? A mother's milk contains something called IgA in what's called the colostrum, and it provides a protective layer on the baby's mucous membranes of the nose, the throat, and the intestines. And as a consequence of the IgA and other antibodies that are passed from the mother, so their blood never exchanges, but nutrients, antibodies pass through the placenta. Breastfeed, once they're out of the womb, of course, it's coming from the mother's milk. Breastfed babies, these are facts. These are not opinions. These are facts. Breastfed babies suffer much less from asthma, ear and chest infections, dental caries. Their teeth are developing. They haven't even broken through yet. And there's something in the mother's milk that's protecting those teeth as they're coming through. Strep. There's a natural, it's in the mother's milk. They're protected from strep virus, which, you know, I cut myself shaving one time. And within, I don't know, it was just a couple of days. That thing was so angry and red and looked like my face was going to fall off. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, good thing you came in. That's a staph infection that you have. Another day or two, you know, you can die quickly from that. You know, people will get an infection in the tooth, and the next thing you know, they're dead. And you think, oh, I thought it was just a toothache, right? It's because these things are, they're very serious, right? But there's something in mother's milk that protects the baby from those things. Isn't that wonderful? Sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, is much higher. The incidence of that is much higher in babies that are formula fed versus babies that are breastfed. They have babies that are breastfed. The studies show that they have higher mental development. I can't explain these things. I just know God's ways are the best way. And later in life, they have less occurrence of diabetes, less occurrence of high cholesterol, obesity, inflamed bowel syndrome, things we never even heard of, Crohn's disease, cancers. They have stronger bones and so forth. And it all starts from mother's milk. And Paul says, we desire the sincere milk of the word. Friends, what does that do as to a new Christian? You're getting inoculated. You're being protected. You're facing things that you don't even know exist. And what's being fed to you is keeping you, whether you know it or not. Oh, what a mighty God we serve tonight. So what is critical is the immunity that's caused by the inoculation through the mother's milk for the first 6 months of the baby's life. And this doesn't include the benefits to the church, I mean to the mother, of the breastfeeding process. So you can see where I'm going with this, right? The church is like a woman, and the woman is feeding the young in the church the sincere milk of the word, right? The mother that's breastfeeding benefits. She benefits from breastfeeding her baby. The church benefits from breastfeeding the newborn babes in Christ. Some of the benefits are, it causes the mother to relax. It causes the mother to nurture. It causes a bonding to take place between the child and the mother. There's something called oxytocin. There's something called prolactin. These things are released in that process, and the mother's health is, she has a sense of well-being, and that, you know, tendency to want to go, you know, get the baby blues and go kill herself. There's something in that process that turns that around for her. Isn't that wonderful? The uterus tightens through breastfeeding, right? A mother can't give the baby a bottle and her uterus tighten. It comes from breastfeeding. Moods, the bonding, so on and so forth. And the baby's in the body, speaking of the church, are immunized from passing on the antibodies, the living word, from the battles that are waged and won by the church. In other words, we don't all have to fight the same battles to benefit from the victory. Oh, I hope somebody's listening tonight. We can have the spoils of a battle that we never even went through, because it took place in the body.
And we're inoculated by it. See, we don't even have to know these things, and it's still true. Showing God knows what he's doing. Of course. Now, don't misunderstand, as I said, church joining will not inoculate you from the assault of sin. It is Christ that inoculates you, but he works through a body. And the living word comes to us through living vessels. Sorry, friends, that's how God planned it out. That's God's idea. There's no substitute, right? It's shoulder to shoulder. It comes through a body. And when we hear the living word preached, and when the living word is lived amongst us, we are inoculated from the unbelief that will attack us otherwise. How is it that people start having doubts and they start falling away? It's because they're listening to something else. And they're getting away from what would inoculate them. No, it's not propaganda. I know the devil wants to say, well, it's just brainwashing and they're getting away from the brainwashing. We know that exists. We know there are cults out there. But we're talking about the living word. I don't care about all the false examples. Of course those things have to be there. Right? Of course there has to be imitations and false things. But the fact that there is imitations and false things tells you that there's a real. So when we hear the living word preached and lived, we are inoculated from unbelief that will attack us. The living word that became our sacrifice is also our inoculation tonight. How many believes he's your sacrifice? He's also your inoculation. He's your prevention. He's your disease prevention. And just as with natural inoculations, we could use a booster shot every now and then, right? To build up our immunity, to stir up those antibodies that are in us and make sure that we're still producing those antibodies. So friends, you know, there's no way we can bring a perfect balance to anything in one service. We believe in cures as they're discovered, and we're thankful for it. And we're thankful for, you know, the other things that God has made available to us in this hour, right? But our ultimate cure is the inoculation of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And it should be the first place that we turn to. If we know that our faith isn't there, and we pressed and pressed, and we seek the Lord, and we feel led to maybe, you know, go this direction or that direction, and your faith is in it, and you're believing, we're not critical of that. I'm not being critical of that, but I'm telling you what the best solution is and what the first solution ought to be. In the message, why? He says, I thank God for every serum that we got, that they got for the salt vaccine. Pray constantly that God will give us something for cancer, for poor suffering people. Anything can do to help. I'm for it. Yes, sir. I'm 100% for it. And if we Christian people would pray more for such things as that, we'd be better off. The whole country would. Yes, great men. They give their lives just to fight back at those things that cripple children and everything. Certainly. I certainly thank God for everything that he's done for us. I thank God for an automobile. I thank God for soap to wash my hands with. And all the mechanics and all those things. And I thank God for them. Certainly. There's one thing we didn't have soap, you know. There's one time when we didn't have soap, you know. There was one time when we didn't have an automobile. If I wanted to walk over to Phoenix, I could take off. But I thank God for an automobile. You know, we could say that tonight, right? I can still get to Phoenix without a car, but I'd rather go in a car, wouldn't you? I thank God for an automobile. I get in and I trust him right on down the road as hard as I can go. See? So we thank God for those things. All things that's good come good to help us comes from God, certainly. So we want to keep our balance, right? We don't want to swing to one side or the other and say, you know, like something that we've been battling for years in our own ranks, in our own, and it shouldn't be taking place in our own ranks. People shouldn't be coming into church and saying, oh, well, doctors are of the devil, or I got faith. There ain't no way I'm going to a doctor as you have your legs sawed off because you're diabetic or whatever. To me, that's a reproach. It's totally out of balance. It's totally wrong. Right? There's greater faith and there's lesser faith. Wherever your faith is at, right? We want to go with that. Prayer lines. Are we against prayer lines? Are we? Well, the perfect way is to just believe. Right? That's the perfect way. But what if you aren't just believing? Well, the prayer lines still have their place. The purpose of a prayer line is not for somebody to give you some. It's to bring your faith up to a level that you can receive what God has already given to you. But we don't throw it out. So you still with me? Hopefully I didn't turn anybody off, but it's time to take the gloves off. There's things that work and there's things that don't. And we don't want to keep doing the things that don't. So he says, usually when you take a serum every once in a while, you're inoculated, but you have to get a booster. And what this city needs in the Pentecostal church today is a booster. Hallelujah. Don't boost it on saying we'll make a few more organizations. He says that'll ruin your prescription. Go back and take a booster of the very same thing that come in at the first place. The same baptism by the same experience and the same Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. Glory forever and ever. Glory and power in the resurrection of Christ. Then he said, the things that I do shall you do also, because you've been inoculated. Amen. Inoculated. I'm pulling over here in just a minute. Amen. Inoculated with resurrection power. Somebody say that tonight. I have resurrection power. You say, well, I don't know if I do or not. Well, how are you going to get out of the grave if you go the way of the grave? What's in you right now is what will raise you from the grave. If the same spirit that dwells in Christ dwells in you, it will raise your mortal body. It's not a different force. It's not a different power. It's the very thing that's in you tonight. But we must have confidence in what's in us. First of all, we must know what's in us. Know what's in that inoculation. And then we must have confidence in it and put it to use. Well, hallelujah. The things that I do, shall you do also, because you've been inoculated. Amen. Inoculated with resurrection power. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. I know you think I'm noisy, but my, it's just the way I guess you'd get noisy too. Inoculated, branded. So glad I know where I belong in the house of God. Aren't you glad, Christians? Oh, he's here. Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt, let's bow our heads and worship him. Hallelujah. Again, he says, and then after he had proved the serum of God would cure from sin and keep you in the hour of temptation, it would not only do that, but it would work miracles through the power of God, through this balm that was in Gilead. See how it all ties together? Through this balm that was in Gilead. Not only that, but after you're dead and you're laid in the grave, it'll raise you up again. The serum held out. It is the balm of Gilead, the balm of heaven that God gave to his son to inoculate him to bring the proof. Not a guinea pig for a medicine, but a son from heaven, proving what he was. And he took it, and he was anointed with the Spirit, and God was in him performing miracles and signs. Then he killed his human life on Calvary, and he died. And he went into the grave, and he laid there 3 days and nights. But on the third day, he broke the bands and rose again. For he said, this inoculation, this balm, shall raise me up again in the last days. It'll raise me up after 3 days. He said, tear this tabernacle down and it'll raise it up in 3 days. And of course, they thought they were talking about the temple. He was the temple. Amen. You're the temple tonight. Again, in Balm and Gilead, he says, if the eternal life brought them signs in that day to those that had it, the same eternal life will do the same thing today. How many believes that? The same eternal life will do the same thing today. You said, well, I'm having doubts. Well, you're in the right place, right? Because we're inoculated here tonight. You're in the right place. I challenge that unbelief. I want to put that to a test. I challenge that unbelief. Amen? Take God at His word tonight and see if He will perform His word. Hallelujah. Same eternal life will do the same thing today. If there's still a balm in Gilead, or is there? Has those days passed? Are they gone? Did God run out of the inoculation for His church? Did He do it? If He did, woe unto the church. But on the day of Pentecost, while they were shouting and praising God, the question came up, men and brethren, what can we do to become inoculated? And Dr. Simon Peter wrote out a prescription. And he said, the scription's going to be good for you and for your children and for every generation. As many as our Lord God shall call can use this same prescription. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be inoculated. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is God's inoculation. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. And He's still calling tonight. He then told His disciples, I want you to be inoculated with it. And I'm sending you forth with the gift to go into all the world and inoculate everyone that will believe. There is a balm in Gilead. 120 climbed into an upper room and closed the doors and barred the windows. They stayed there for 10 days waiting for it to happen. And while they were in one place, in one accord, all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It was God's balm coming down. When it struck them in the room, cloven tongues set upon them like it was fire. Out into the streets they went. They had the results. They showed that they'd been inoculated. They showed that something had happened. Friends, it's not theology. We don't come to church and get filled with theology and go out and show that it was just theology by arguing. We've had people in the church over the years that they constantly come to me telling me about, well, I argued with my brother and, you know, he doesn't believe in going to church and we do, and we just had this argument. Why do you keep arguing? Why don't you show them what you have? Right? You don't need an argument. I mean, come on, where does argument stop? It's just one argument or another argument or another argument. It's just theology. Let them see that life. Let them see that inoculation. Oh, come on. There's nothing that would sell better than that. Brother Brown tells us one time where he was selling lamps. He said he had a little period of time where he was selling lamps. And he said what he would do is he'd go to the people's house. He'd stop, take a lamp out, take it into the house. And he says, why don't you try this out? Well, I'm not really sure if I need it, and I'm not sure this. Well, look, no cost, no harm, no foul. I'm not pushing this on you. Why don't you take it, plug it in, keep it for, you know, a week or two, and if you decide that it's what I said that it is, if you decide that it's doing what you want it to do and the price is the right kind of a price, well, then pay for it. But if not, I'll just come pick it up and won't charge you a thing. He said he sold more than anybody. What's the point there? He didn't have to sell it. It'll sell itself. You get filled with that inoculation, it'll sell itself. People will recognize that you're not nervous. People will recognize that you're not losing your mind. People will recognize that you got a smile on your face. People will recognize there's something settled. People will recognize when something comes that would just blow them over and cause them to commit suicide. You get up and you say, well, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People will see that you've got an inoculation. And they will naturally want to know more about what it is that you have. They don't need another argument. Let the Jehovah Witness, the Mormon, the this, the that, let them argue. The Catholic, the Lutheran, the Baptist. Well, we're right and everybody else is wrong. Well, where's the beef? Show me the proof. Show me where your life is different than their life. Show me where it's more than just dogma or ideas. Show me where you are living a more overcoming life. Show me where you're prospering in health. Even as you're, show me where your soul's prospering. Come on, friends. Hallelujah. Cloven tongues set upon them. It was like it was fire. Out on the streets they went. They had the results. They showed that they'd been inoculated. See, when they came down out of the upper room, they weren't coming down to argue. They weren't coming down with some new theology. They came down with, this is that. They had the results. They showed that they'd been inoculated. They showed that something had happened. All the fear and the things that they had vanished away as soon as they got injected with God's toxin of the Holy Ghost that was poured out upon them. Well, if all the fear and the things vanished away, would it still do the same thing tonight? Well, I'm nervous about this and I'm nervous about that. Would it fix that tonight? Would it have the same effect on the church tonight as it did 2,000 years ago? It made them slobber. It made them stammer. It made them act like a bunch of drunk people. But they were receiving new life. God was placing His life. God was placing His life. God was placing His life. The Creator of the universe was placing His life into that 120. And they screamed. And they shouted. It didn't say whether they were the screaming or shouting type. It says they screamed. And they shouted. And they spoke in tongues. And they run. And they acted like drunk people because they was inoculated. They were inoculated from the styles of the world. Now, friends, of course, this is one message that we're reading from. And of course, we're not saying we all got to speak in tongues. We all got to do this. We all got to do that. What we are saying is there'll be some evidence that something took place. There'll be something in you that wasn't there before. Amen? The joy bells will start to ring. You'll have peace like a river. Joy like a fountain. Right? All your worry warts will disappear and you didn't do any Dr. Scholl's or whatever the term is for the wart remover. Right? The greatest wart remover there is tonight is the Holy Ghost. The greatest healing potion there is tonight is, step right up, folks. How many'd like to buy a bottle? How many'd like to have a portion of this? Repent. Be baptized and get the inoculation. For it's unto you, it's to your children, to your children's children. Our children don't have to face the world with the devil on the rampage. They can have the same cough syrup that you have tonight. They can have the same inoculation flowing in their blood tonight that's flowing in the church. They can have the same antitoxin. They can have the same sin-killing power. They can have the same resistance that's in them, the same overcomer. They can face the worst things that are coming that'll make cancer look like a toothache. Because they got the inoculation, they got the power. Friends, there's nothing that this won't cure. There's nothing that this won't overcome. There's nothing that this won't defeat. But we got to take it. We got to apply it. And the church says, there is a balm in Gilead tonight. There is a balm in the church tonight. And it is the inoculation of the word. Why do you think that John, who's a type of the bride, was told by the angel, Christ himself, come and take this word, take this book, eat it, and be inoculated, and then go and prophesy again. Speak the living word, it's written word. It's on the page. Eat it. Let the life come and quicken it. Speak it. And it'll go forth in power and demonstration. It'll do. It'll interpret itself. It'll go from a discussion to God manifesting His word. It'll become light. It'll become life. It'll change. It'll heal. It'll deliver. It'll quicken your mortal body. It'll raise up grandma. It'll raise up grandpa, uncle, aunt, child, cousin. It'll quicken their bodies. How many believe that tonight? There may be dust that's scattered. There may not be anything to pick up. Amen. But those elements will come together. You believe that? God knows where your body's at. Where? Let me ask you this tonight. Where was your body before you got here? It was in the earth. God arranged for it to come together and form in your mother's womb. Can't he do that again? Hallelujah. In the womb of Jehovah. Can't that same power, can't that same word rearrange your elements and bring you back together? And mix the little eternal life with that cosmic light. Hallelujah. And give you a body that's no longer subject to this world. No longer subject to sin. No longer subject to sickness. No longer subject to being tired. No longer can be tempted with being worried. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't understand how this works, but it sounds like we won't have to eat, but we will still eat. Well, I'm kind of looking forward to that. What good would it do to go to a wedding supper if I'm just going to watch? Well, I'd join in, but I don't eat anymore. I'm going to join in, and I get, Brother Lucas, I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. I'm going to enjoy it. All good things. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Let's start enjoying it tonight. Let's start partaking of it tonight. Let's take advantage of every opportunity that we have when the body comes together. Say, God, I need the inoculation tonight. I've got this problem or that problem. I don't seem to be able to overcome this by myself. I'm facing this in my little corner. Church doesn't maybe even know about it, and I'm facing this in this corner or that corner. But God, I'm coming to church tonight, and I need the inoculation. Give me. Let me have from the body. Because you've already developed. How many believes that? There's already antibodies that have been developed in here. I have overcome things. I have overcome things. And if we can just get together, we can pass that on to you. And you'll overcome the very same thing. The same way, by the same life. Right? Brother Dutch. Right? Sister Joyce. I mean, friends, we've got all this experience in the body. Brother Eli, Sister Lydia, we've got antibodies that are in the body. And they're sitting back and they're thinking, you know, I could help if they would just let me. I know the solution. I've been there. I went through this and I have a testimony. And here's how. Right? I have that testimony. I overcame. By the word of my testimony, that word produced a testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. And I know that it'll work for this young man here. It worked for Brother Eli. It'll work for him. He doesn't have to go through this on his own. Amen. The inoculation's in the body, but we got to pass it through. We got to share it. We got to let it flow. We got to be willing to partake. What we have need of is in the body. You say, well, no, Brother Baker, we need the word. The word's in the body. Christ is in the body. And it's not dogma. It's not, we're not arguing. It's living word. It's still alive in Brother Eli. It's still alive in Sister Joyce. It's still alive in Brother John. It's still alive in Brother Lucas. What they faced, it's still alive. Amen. And if they can partake from the body. Come on, friends. They don't have to overcome it the same way you did, but they have to overcome it by the same life. And the life's in the body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Friends, in the natural, I don't need to go out there in the world and face smallpox by myself. Polio by myself. Right? I don't have to face all those things by myself and build up an immunity we've got banks of this stuff stored up. Right. I'm not telling you to go off and do that. This is a shadow. What I'm trying to show you is, if it works in the shadow, how about in the real? That's what God is trying to get us to see. If it works in the shadow, if they're able to keep that toxin and that antitoxin and provide it, well, I don't have to get smallpox and overcome it. I can be inoculated. And where did that inoculation come from? Somebody else that overcame. It was developed because somebody else overcame. Hallelujah. It's in the body tonight. Oh, I'm so unhappy. It's in the body tonight. Oh, I'm so nervous. It's in the body tonight. Whatever we have need of, I'm worried about my future. It's in the body tonight. I'm not sure what to do with my life. It's in the body tonight. You can draw from the body. If we just don't insist on everything, you know, we don't get this non-invented here mindset. Right? I used to see that in engineering all the time. Well, I'm not going to use your solution because I didn't come up with it. Right? You don't have to, knothead. That person spent years, that person has knots on their head, so you don't have to get a knot on your head, not head. Oh no, not invented here. I don't care who gets credit. I just want the solution. Success floats all boats. Right? Failure has no grandchildren. Failure is an orphan. Nobody wants to be associated with failure. Success floats all boats. It's in the body tonight. You need healing? It's in the body tonight. You need a sound mind? It's in the body tonight. You need encouragement? It's in the body tonight. You need leadership? It's in the body tonight. Sure, you're going to have your one-on-ones and God's going to deal with you one-on-one, but there's things that are in the body. And we need to take advantage of it. Excuse me, I don't want to wait until Brother Eli's 102. How old was your mom? Huh? 103, coming up. 103, right? I don't want to wait until he's 103 to say, you know, didn't you face this at one time and didn't you overcome? So how did you do that? Right? I can take advantage of it tonight. There's untapped inoculation in the body tonight. Untapped. Right? Well, how did you overcome being shunned? Right? It's in the body tonight. How did you keep from falling apart? It's in the body tonight. How did you stand in a household where nobody was, everybody was against you and nobody was a believer? It's in the body tonight. We believe that. Hallelujah. Let's don't put any limits on it, friends. It's in the body tonight. Are we going to take advantage of it? Are we going to draw from it? Let's bow our heads. Father God, I just thank you so much for the simplicity of your word, Lord. Lord, there's no end to the things that I could say that just amaze me. You're just amazing. But Lord, one of the things that just comes to my mind right now, one of the many, 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 I just spent all night talking about the things that amaze me about you. But one of the things that amazes me is how you can take things that are out of our reach and out of our grasp, that they're out of the grasp of man in general, and you can make it so simple that the least amongst us can get a hold of it. To me, that's true greatness, because what you're revealing and showing in simplicity is you. But you're breaking yourself down. We don't want to make the mistake of thinking because you revealed yourself in simplicity, because you're able to make yourself so small, we don't want to think that you are small. That's what makes you great. How could someone so great stoop to our level? Not stoop to our level, stoop below us. How could one so great become a servant of all of us? How could one so great pay the price for all of us? How could one that's so great leave the throne and the royal robes, the titles and the position, the authority and the power, and lay that all aside to come down and serve, to come down and defeat our enemy, to come down and become one of us, and then to conquer our enemy in frail human flesh? You didn't do it as a giant. You didn't do it as a cherubim or a seraphim. You did it living in the same kind of body I'm living in tonight. The only difference is that yours didn't come from a man and a woman uniting together. But that body was the same in every other way. That body developed in a womb. That body drew to it the nourishment that it needed. That body took elements, iron and calcium and potash and dirt, whatever. Took calcium, copper, zinc, manganese. Took all the very same things that make up my body. Pulled it out of the earth. And it became part of that body. And in that body, you overcame. And you developed the inoculation. You developed the serum. And then you said, I will pour out this serum from on high. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. I will pour out the inoculation. Repent, be baptized, and receive the inoculation. For the promises unto you, your children, your children's children, to them that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. I believe you're still calling tonight, Lord. I believe there's still an inoculation tonight, and I don't believe it's lost any of its power. I believe that that very same life that came on the day of Pentecost never left the earth, and it's shoulder to shoulder, and it's going from one living vessel to another. That very same life is in this local body here tonight. We don't have to run off to a special meeting. We don't have to go around the globe. The life that we're in need of is right here. We don't have to run off to a seminar. We don't have to listen to Brother So-and-so's tapes to find the key. What we have need of is in the body tonight. What we have need of, we can draw from the body tonight. What we have need of, you'll speak through the body. They'll pull it right out of you. It'll come right through the body. We believe that tonight, Lord. It's you in all. It's you through all. It's you all in all. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would just cinch up the belt a little bit tighter tonight, Lord. Father, not make the mistake of you've made it so simple that if we're not careful, we'll just walk right over the top of it and not realize the cure for what we have need is right here in the body tonight. Maybe we're praying about something and we're trying to find it through a textbook, or maybe we're trying to study it out ourselves, or maybe we're trying to do a survey, or maybe we're thinking we'll travel around and maybe somebody will tell us. And yet the cure, the solution, the inoculation is right here. What we have need of is right here in the body. And you're the provider. You're the one. You'll get all honor. You'll get all glory. There's no big eyes, no little U's. But there is serum in the body. There is antitoxin in the body. Father, may we look past our physical attributes here tonight. Father, the ministering brothers that are here that so labor and are so burdened for the local body as well as the body of Christ as they're called to be, may they not be underestimated, Lord. Not speaking of the natural man, not speaking of a man being elevated, but what's in the body. May we not fail to draw what's in the body. And Lord, we know that there's so much more in the body besides that. There's word that's lived out. There's experiences in this body. There are people that have overcome in so many areas of their life. And they've developed the antibodies that would be helpful to another brother or sister that's just starting out in the journey or progressed a little bit along the way or maybe is in the middle of their journey, whatever it might be, whatever stage that we're at. Father, we don't all have to be exposed to the same thing, but we can receive that inoculation. I don't have to be tempted in every way that Jesus Christ was tempted. But the same inoculation that was in Him is in the body tonight. Father, may we recognize it. May we not fail to... May we pay You the great compliment that You're due and that You're owed tonight. That'll cause us to be excited to come together. We love one another. We appreciate one another. Even in the natural, we appreciate one another. And there's benefits even in the natural. But that's still not why we come, Lord. We come for the Christ that's in the body. And there's Christ in each and every one that has been inoculated here tonight. And Father, You set it up so that the liver will do things that the kidney can't do. But the kidney will do something that the liver can't do. So they both need one another. Father, every part in the body is essential. Every part is going to bring something and impart something to the body. As it functions, it's going to develop the inoculation for the things that it goes through. And the body will benefit from it. And that organ will take what it needs from the body as well. And it won't leave the body barren. It'll take, and like that cruse of oil or that barrel of feed, it won't run out. It'll just keep supplying and keep supplying and keep supplying. Father, I pray that You just stir us up from the pulpit to the back door. May each and every one of us, Lord, may each and every one of us purpose in our hearts, God, I'm going to look for You in the local body. I'm going to draw from You what You've been developing in the local body. And it might be so humble that I might step right over the top of it, but I don't want to be that way. It's God in simplicity, God hiding Himself and revealing Himself in simplicity. Father, I'm not too proud to learn from my brother, to learn from my sister, and I certainly don't have to go through what they have gone through and gotten the victory. I don't have to go through everything to benefit from the inoculation that's in the body tonight. Now, if they're telling me a story about how their grandpa overcame something, I appreciate the story, and maybe it'll incite some courage in me. Maybe it'll cause me to seek You a little bit more. But I won't benefit from that story directly. I won't get the inoculation from the story. But if that inoculation is in their life, if it's something they've went through and they've got the inoculation, I can benefit directly from that, shoulder to shoulder. Father God, help us to see this simple principle in the body tonight. Father, I understand that there's DNA in every cell in our body, but there one thing where my DNA is not present, what makes me unique is not present in my blood. And that's why my blood can be given to somebody else that has the same type. And I won't be giving them my DNA. Sure, there might be some of our cells that's floating around, but them taking my blood into their body is not going to turn them into me. Any more than me taking their blood into my body is going to turn me into them. It's universal is what we're trying to say. Lord, You're the universal donor. You've got the blood type that is good for anyone. We want to be universal receivers tonight, Lord. We want to receive that blood type that comes from You. Yours is the positive. We've got the negative, but You've got the positive. And Father, we receive that blood, that life that's in that blood. It doesn't turn us into a physical reproduction of you. But spiritually speaking, that very same life that's in you is present in our body now. That same overcoming power that overcame the devil when that inoculation was being developed in your body will overcome the devil in our body. Father, we want to be wide open. We want to be in expectation every time we come together that we're going to receive a further inoculation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great opportunity that's been given to us. Please, Lord, please don't let times come upon us to where it's hard for us to get together, or maybe we're even prevented to. May it not be that those times come and then we realize that the power, the virtue, the inoculation that's present in the local body. May we take advantage of it, Lord, in the good times and the bad. May we recognize it now. Allow that inoculation to flow through the body. Bless each and every one here tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that might want to lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, you've inoculated me in so many ways. May that inoculation that's flowing through my veins tonight, may it be a benefit to someone else in the body. May it be a help to someone that's just starting, maybe somebody that's midway through, whatever, wherever we're at, whatever stage in our journey. Father, they don't have to go through. Maybe it was a hard-felt battle and a hard-fought victory. Well, they don't have to go through the very same thing to reap the benefit of what's in the body tonight. May what's in us tonight, Lord, be a benefit to our brother, to our sister. May we just be ready and willing to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us, the inoculation that's within us. Lord, to be able to benefit the rest of the body. Father, you see the hands that were raised in the building tonight. My hands are certainly up, Lord. That's certainly my desire. My desire tonight, Lord, is the hard-won victories and the inoculations, Lord, that under great pressure many times. It's done its work. I'm here. It has overcome. That thing that about knocked me over years ago, perhaps. But it did not prevail. That inoculation formed and instead overcame that thing. Lord, may others benefit from the very same thing. Each and every one of us as a body, functioning as a body, Lord, receiving from each portion of the body what we have need of, giving to the body, freely receiving, freely giving. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? And most of all glory, all honor, all praise goes to you. We thank you, Lord. What a privilege it is to be a part of your body tonight, Lord. This body that we're speaking of is your body. We believe this local body is a portion of that body that's on the earth tonight. We believe that there's those that are asleep, that are coming back, that are also a portion of that body. We believe that the whole body of Christ will be on the earth at one point in time. What a time that'll be, but what a time this ought to be. When what's done in a portion will be done in the fullness. Bless each and every one, Lord. May we recognize this great secret that's been hidden and is now being revealed in your body. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I've got peace like a river. Love.